A couple of weeks ago, a member of our parish came up to me and said, "George, I've really been pondering and thinking about what you said in that homily a couple of months ago." And I remember turning and saying, "Well, what homily? And what did I say?" And she began to share something that I said. And I said, "Oh, right. I remember saying that." And I shared with her that I don't write down any of my homilies. I work on them pretty hard, a week to a week and a half, but I don't write something down. But so when someone brings something up and reminds me, I remember it, but I don't have it in a file someplace. So it struck me, if I don't remember something I said, I'm not sure I can assume that you remember something I said. And so I want to mention something today that I've mentioned before, because I think it could help understand a little bit of this gospel reading that we're engaging with this morning that we just heard. You know, I've shared before that one way I look at this journey, that this religious journey, there are certain sort of stages to it that we see from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the Old Testament. And it seems to be true not just of the Jewish Scriptures, the Christian tradition, it just seems to be part of a religious tradition. And it's this. The first sort of phase of religion is what's oftentimes referred to as a belonging system. You belong, you join. It's the story of the Hebrew people early on where they get the law and they get organized and what they believe. You become part of a belonging system that has its rules, its guidelines, its laws, its ways of being, its traditions. And so you enter into that and you belong and you begin to follow those. And you respond to what's referred to as sort of an outer authority. You give yourself this outer authority, I trust, and I'm going to let it shape and form me and follow these things. The next phase of the religious journey, oftentimes it's suggested, is what we sometimes refer to as the prophetic. The prophetic. You know, the prophet is somebody who is formed and shaped by that belonging system, follows the laws, the guidelines, the rules, but at some point has an experience that one might, I've used the phrase, they kind of have an experience of the holy. So that their whole point of reference is not just the outer authority, but this inner authority. They begin to draw on their experience of the holy and begin to speak from a different place. And oftentimes, the people who have the most difficulty with that prophetic voice are the people in the belonging system. Because it seems sometimes that the criticism is too much to take. It seems sometimes that this person's lost their faith and gone off on some other tangent. But in reality, one thing that could be happening is this person really is having a deepening. They're going deeper into their place, into their experience of the holy. And they speak from that place. Of course, there can be tension in those two areas between the belonging system and the people who are speaking from another place. You know, you'll notice that it's very difficult to appreciate a prophet in our own time. It's very easy to appreciate a prophet from 40, 50 years ago. Boy, that person was a real prophet. But it's so difficult to accept that prophetic voice in our own time because it sometimes can jostle us if they're speaking from a different place. The third phase of that religious journey is what's referred to as the wisdom tradition. This place where someone can rest and not see the world in either or, but can see the world in both this and that, is able to live in that, in kind of that tension. That's a very quick summary of that experience. But Jesus, I think, lived in that wisdom tradition. Jesus was able to live in the midst of that tension. I think Jesus also had a prophetic voice. And I think that's what we're seeing in this gospel reading today. You know, Jesus belonged to the Jewish tradition. He was shaped by it, formed by it. He followed the laws, the guidelines. I'm sure Jesus washed his hands appropriately as he was supposed to before a meal. I'm sure Jesus ate the things that folks ate and didn't eat the things that his people did not eat. He followed that. And he was formed and shaped in that tradition. And he had this experience from which he began to speak from, which perhaps is more prophetic voice and sometimes couldn't be heard. And I suggest to you, that's a little bit of what's going on in the gospel reading today. He's speaking to some fellow Jewish people, and it must have been about the dietary laws and washing of hands. And Jesus says, paraphrasing, you know, it's not what goes into our mouths that defiles, uses the word defiles us, it's what comes out. He puts it very bluntly. Matthew writes it in a very nice way. What goes into our mouths eventually goes into the sewer. It's a kind of a gentle way of describing something. But he says that's not what's important is what comes out of us. It comes from our heart. It comes, how do we hurt each other? How do we do things that hurt one another? You know, it's, follow those things. But we're called to something much deeper, a deeper understanding of that. And you notice in the gospel reading, the disciples say, you know, the Pharisees don't like what you're saying. You know, the Pharisees are that belonging system, and it sounds like Jesus is challenging the value of those traditions. And I don't think he really is. I think what he's really saying is go deeper. Let that lead you to a deeper experience, to something more in your journey of faith. And I think that's what we're called to do in our lives. We need to belong. We need that shape and that form to form us and shape us, but then called to a deeper level. Someone said to me one time, I mentioned the idea of, you know, an experience of the holy that leads us to this deeper experience. And someone once said to me, George, I don't know. I don't think I've ever had an experience of the holy. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, experience of the holy sounds like something holy people have or other people have. I mean, what does that look like? I don't think I've ever had that experience. And I want to share with you a story that I think can speak to that, because I think we do and can have that experience of something holy. And perhaps it comes from listening to our lives. That experience isn't necessarily a one-time thing, but it could be a process that leads us to something new, leads us to a different place. I want to share this story with you, and I would propose to you this is an example of an experience of the holy. Years ago, I was ordained a priest, and I worked in a parish for a few years. I'd just come out of the seminary where you earn a master's of divinity and you're ordained and you go into, I went into parish work. And about 2.5 years after I was in parish work, my bishop at the time asked me if I would leave parish ministry and go into teaching. And I was asked to teach at a high school in the Bronx. And it was a high school of about 4,300 students, very diverse area. Some of the students there were from some of the poorest areas of the New York City area. And some of the students would hang around the school at the end of the day, almost afraid to go home because of the dangers they faced. This was in the early 1980s. And it was an incredible time in my ministry, a time that really shaped and formed me so early in my priesthood, and it's always stayed with me, that all that I experienced there. So while I was teaching and learning how to teach, my bishop asked me if I'd go back to school. And I was asked to go to Fordham University to earn what's referred to as a master's in religious studies and religious education. Fordham is a Jesuit college, if you're familiar with the Jesuits. With Pope Francis being the Pope today, people are hearing more about the Jesuits. But the Jesuits are these scholarly types and devoted to scholarship. And so I refer to that degree that I earned there as my Jesuit degree. I mean, they're just these brilliant minds that I was surrounded by. And this one Jesuit told this story. He was teaching about the spiritual development that we go through in our lives and how we move through that. And I want to share this story with you because I think it can speak to us in a very practical way. He said he grew up as a young boy, and he had a sister or a brother, and his mom and dad. And every Sunday, he and his mom went to church. And every Sunday, his father made sure that he went to church. But he went with his mother. And his father never went to church, just wasn't on his radar. But he made sure that he went. He loved his dad. He was a great father, and he still loved spending time with him. And he grew up in this parish where he also went to the local parochial school. And every day he had religion class. and they learned things in religion class. One was the fact that it's important to go to church every Sunday. This is probably back in the 1950s, early 1960s. It's important you go to church every Sunday. And if you don't go to church, it's a sin. It's a sin. In other classes, he's learning about sin. And he hears that, you know, sin is pretty significant. You know, if you commit sin seriously, you don't go to heaven. You know, you go to hell. People who sin go to hell. People don't go to church on Sunday are sinning. And he talks about, as the little boy, carrying that, thinking, my dad's going to go to hell? Imagine the weight of that. He wasn't sure who to talk to about it, how he could deal with it, but it was putting things together. He said one day, though, he's walking in his neighborhood. Actually, he's walking over to the church, if I remember correctly, and he's going to like the playground there where he lived. And as he's coming down the street, coming down the sidewalk, was Mrs. Hines. Mrs. Hines. Now, Mrs. Hines was someone who was known in the parish. She was known in the neighborhood. And the thing about Mrs. Hines is she certainly went to church every Sunday. As a matter of fact, she went every single day. Every single morning at 8 o'clock, she went to church, to Mass. The only thing with Mrs. Hines is nobody could stand Mrs. Hines. She was known to be grumpy and angry. She got kind of nasty around kids, and people used to avoid her. You know, they'd walk down the street and pass her, go across the other side of the street. And he says he did that. So, and he, whenever he saw her coming, I'm going across the street. And one day, though, he crossed the street, and all of a sudden this clicked. He said, you know, I think I'd rather be in hell with Daddy than in heaven with Mrs. Hines. And that's an experience of the holy. That's an experience of, wait a minute. The value of being shaped and formed in a community, but then taking that and then sort of digesting it and bringing your experience to light and seeing things perhaps in a different way. I think we're called to that experience. I think we're called to that deeper understanding. You know, we need to belong to one another. We need to belong where we are together. And we need then to then listen to that voice, listen to that holiness in our lives, so that we begin to realize to whom we belong. And we can all do that. I was talking to my daughter this past week, who was home visiting, and we were talking about the death of Robin Williams, which is such a tragedy. And Robin Williams, you may not know, was an Episcopalian. Grew up Episcopalian, and I've always admired his work. And there's a movie, I think it's called August Rush, I may have the name wrong, but there's a scene in the movie where this little boy is like a prolific musician. Just music just shapes his life. And he meets the character that Robin Williams plays. And they're having this conversation. And for this boy, music is just everything. It just unites him with another experience, with another world. And I'm paraphrasing the lines that Robin Williams says, that's what music does. It just brings us to something else. And the little boy says, does everybody know that? And I think that the line of Robin Williams is, everybody can, but not everybody listens. Not everybody listens. And part of the spiritual journey to me is honing our listening. The first word of the Rule of Saint Benedict is listen, hear it. I think we have experiences of the holy in our lives, and I believe we need to let those shape and form us. We belong here, we need to be here, we need to be shaped and formed, but we all need to bring the experiences we have of the holy in our lives and share those and bring those together as we listen to each other, challenged by each other, as we go forth into this world, as I often say, to make a difference and to change the world. And together,